it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, or three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Connor Newt, Brandon Bigsby with you on this Monday. I have been looking forward to this for dang near 2 weeks. John McClain joins us now. Hello, John.
What's going on? That's a lot of pressure, Chase, let me tell you.
Well, you know what? I've missed talking to you. You know, I had a little vacation. As you can imagine, this is the time of year to get it done and to do that and kind of unwind. But I missed our conversations on Monday, so good to have you on.
Well, thank you, and I hope you've been unwound.
I have. I feel really good. Let's start with the big news of the Seahawks selling for $9.6 billion. We know there are three franchises worth over $10 billion. This one just under it. I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised at the same time. What about you?
Well, I was surprised because I thought it would hit $10 billion. The Lakers went for $10 billion, and we're talking about the NFL, not the NBA. And I think the next one, based on the last two that have sold, Washington and Denver, next one will probably be 12, 13, 14. Can you imagine if the Cowboys ever decided to sell, considering they are the most valuable franchise in the world, what the Cowboys would bring?
They might go for 20.
You don't make money. This guy, and I can't even pronounce their names, they're not going to make money, but the appreciation of the franchise. That's why they get into it. And it's amazing to me because they're doing it for their kids, because when you're in your 70s and you're buying teams, you know, you could have time to have a little fun, I guess, but you're really doing it for your kids and the amount of money that those things will bring in the future. People believe, Chase, that the franchise fee for American Football League teams like the Houston Oilers was $25,000. I read that all the time. No, there was no franchise fee. Every team put in $25,000 to establish a league office in New York City with a commissioner and a staff. That's where the $25,000 went that Bud Adams told me about multiple times. And I'll bet you sometimes when Amy Adams Trump is thinking about the value of her franchise and where her daddy got it for to be a member of the Foolish Club, that I told all of them, you're fools for spending this kind of money, $25,000 in 1959, to get a football team in a league that will go out of business because it can't compete with the National Football League. It's got to just blow her mind to think about how far those franchises have come. Same with the Seahawks.
So with that said, I threw this out earlier, and I know it's far-fetched, but I'm just kind of looking at, you know, the values, and I compared it to, you know, a house. Like, you look at the values of the houses on your street, and if one sells, you know, it's going to help your value or could hurt your value. And with the Seahawks going for close to 10, you've basically seen the last three teams that have sold, it's been a little bit more. After the Super Bowl, so sometime around 2031, I mean, should she look at it? Should she consider it? You know, especially if her team has more success than they've ever had. And I mean, you can apply this to other owners as well, but she's always been steadfast in saying, I'm not selling the team. You know, this was our father's team. We're going to keep this. But with the values that are there, do you think Amy and others might consider it?
Amy Adams Trump will never sell that franchise as long as she's in charge of it, for the exact reason that she's always said, because of her dad, what it meant to Bud. And, you know, it's not like she's hurting for money.
Sure.
And Bud Adams showed me one time, I was in his office, and I can't remember what it was for, because he didn't invite me to his office very often. But he pulled out yellow, big old long yellow notepad, and he had the base salaries of every player and coach their first year in 1960. And he told me, and it was after Hugh Culverhouse had sold the Buccaneers, and it just, the taxes on the sale just killed his family. And Bud told me that he and Lamar Hunt had good attorneys that told them in the 70s what they needed to do, because the time came that their families were going to inherit franchises and to not be wiped out by taxes like Culverhouse's family was. So Bud didn't have to worry about that. Amy won't have to worry about that. But you can imagine when the time comes. And there are members of families, like right here, there was a nasty battle brewing. Cal McNair's brother, Kerry McNair, tried to have his mother declared mentally incompetent in court so he could take over and he could sell the franchise. But she won in court because she's not mentally incompetent. And they changed a lot of the stuff. And you'll see kind of renegades in the family trying to do things. Something came up with the Chargers a few years ago where a sister or a brother, I think it was a sister from the Spanos family, wanted to sell the franchise, was trying to get her hands on it. But you can't blame people because of the money that's involved. But I know Jerry Jones told me one time his franchise would never be sold. He said because his kids, his grandkids, he had, I don't know, decreed it or wanted them involved, and they agreed, but the Cowboys would never, ever be sold. Although, I'll say this, as Bob McNair didn't find out because he died in 18, you cannot fight from the grave.
This is true.
John McClain is with us, and John, I don't know if you've seen this, but NFL coaches, executives, and scouts have ranked position groups pretty much all week, and today, the quarterback list came out. I'm looking at it right now, and Houston's very own C.J. Stroud is listed at number 20. I'm curious of how much the narrative surrounding him in the playoffs last season is really hurting his ranking right now, and can he change that this season?
Well, of course he can, Nick. I mean, the fact is, he was terrible in the New England playoff game, but in four previous playoff games, after the 23 and 24 season, he played well. So it's not like he's a perennial bad playoff quarterback. Also, the fact that their offensive line gets rebuilt every year because it's never very good, and they don't have a running game last season, that should help him. But I would think it'd be somewhere 15 or 16 because Davis Mills, as a backup, was 3-0. He was really good, and he came off the bench to engineer one of the greatest comebacks in team history in a victory here over Jacksonville. So if you're grading quarterbacks overall, that ought to count for something. But I think at this point, no matter where the Texans are rated, they're going to go up.
John, overall in the AFC South, it's a pretty comparable group in terms of quarterbacks. How can Cam Ward emerge from that group and become the guy to lead that division?
If he has better players around him, he has better coaching, better play calling, that's the way you make the quarterback better. So you give him better players and better coaches, and you know that's what holds back a lot of the times. A lot of times quarterbacks are affected by instability. You hope that with Robert Saleh coming in, he'll be there for a long time, and his assistants he's bringing in will be there for a long time, because that kind of stability will certainly help for it.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on a Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Big Joe with the week off. Nick Frazier off today as well. Connor Newt sitting alongside. And we continue with John McClain down there in Houston. John, are we about to see the return of Aaron Donald? Do we have John?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
No, no worries.
They found him working out the other day. I don't know if it was a drone shot or a helicopter shot. It was over their practice field, and he were working out on the practice field. And I don't think that he's been working out over at their facility. He stays in great shape. There's always things on the internet where you'll see him lifting these incredible amounts of weight. But he was out on the field. Why would he be out on the field if he wasn't planning it? Now, it hasn't been done because he may figure out he can't get back in playing shape the way he wanted, can't do it quick enough, but it sure looks like it's a good possibility.
Well, and I've seen Davante Adams posted a picture of him, and others have basically teased at it. I mean, even if they used him as a situational guy, it doesn't hurt. I mean, I think even at he's 35, he's been out of the league for 2 years, 3 years, something like that. I mean, I still think even at 35, after not playing, not at 100%, he's still going to be effective.
Absolutely he is, and that's what he would be. They wouldn't expect him to come in and start and play and take double and triple teams, which he shouldn't have to do with Myles Garrett. They should play him next to Garrett and have both those guys rushing together. And I'm guessing if he comes back, that's what the plan is. Even though he's great against the run, he's a tremendous pass rusher, which was hard to determine considering how many players blocked him. That's another thing about Myles Garrett. He got blocked by so many people. He seldom had a fourth quarter lead in which he could abandon the run, and he still set the all-time sack record. I can't wait to see Myles Garrett play with the Rams this season.
Something I wanted to – we kind of talked about at the beginning of the World Cup with, all these stadiums having to put grass down for the World Cup. Now the ones that are done, they're ripping it up and putting the turf back in the stadiums that already had it. Do you think, because a lot of players have said, we'd rather play on grass, why not leave it down? Is this something that's going to work its way into the next round of CBA discussions, or is it just something that they're always going to talk about, even though the stadiums and the teams are going to decide to do whatever they want to do?
Well, there are some teams that have grass fields, and players would always rather play on grass. If free agents went to teams that have grass fields and kind of tilt the NFL, which has never happened, players are going to go where they get the most money, even if they had to play in a parking lot, because it's all about money.
Yep.
And I don't blame them. They want to win. Ideally, you win your Super Bowl, then you get paid by your team or another team. But I hear the excuse that stadiums are so expensive that the owners have to have other events there to help them offset the money they've put into the stadium. And my response is they have concerts in other countries. They have concerts. I've noticed, I think it's Real Madrid has a stadium in which the new grass goes underneath the ground and other grass pops up, and that's what they have other events on. Then you push a button, and all that grass goes underground, and the real grass comes out for the soccer players. Until they are willing to strike, which they haven't done since 87, but until they're willing to strike, they may not get that kind of concession. Remember, guys, the owners run the NFL. The players run baseball. The players run basketball. And the owners proved in 87 when they had their strike, they'll let the players stay out all year if they need to. They just go get replacement players and continue to play games that counted in the standings.
John McClain is with us. John, I'm curious of your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers this season. Obviously, they have Aaron Rodgers returning for what I assume is probably his last ride. They add Michael Pittman at receiver. You still got DK Metcalf back there. Is this a team that can truly compete in the AFC and maybe for a playoff spot, or is it going to be more of the same?
They can compete for a playoff. They made the playoffs last year. They were 10-7 in Rodgers' first season. They got lucky that the Bengals and the Ravens were not nearly as good as they usually are. Joe Burrow's hurt, and the fact is Lamar Jackson was hurt. If those guys come back and they're healthy and they play the way they're capable, the Steelers are going to finish third and Cleveland should finish fourth. But the Steelers are going to be looking for a quarterback after next season like so many other teams will, so it's kind of going to be a last hurrah.
Keeping it in that same division, John, I'm curious about the Cincinnati Bengals as well. Still don't have that offensive line help, but it sounds like things are a lot better coming out of that organization and they expect to compete this year. Do you really think that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins can elevate this team to a playoff spot and maybe get back to the Super Bowl this season?
To a playoff spot, yes. I don't see them as a Super Bowl team. Don't think their defense or their offensive line is good enough, but they got a great passing game, as you guys know. Their running game is okay. Nothing else. But as long as he's healthy, that's all that matters because he's probably one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. Problem is they get off to slow starts or he gets hurt. There's just something always there. It seems like it derails the Bengals. Now, he's got to think his 30 or going to be 30. That's when a lot of quarterbacks are just starting to hit their stride. But the Bengals definitely are a contender to win the AFC North. But I don't see them either as just don't see him as a Super Bowl contender.
He did say this is the most talented roster that we've had since I've been here. I mean, I know they made it to the Super Bowl and they came very close to winning that. But with the way the Bengals operate, you know, they typically have a lower payroll. I mean, is he going to have to get out of there to really have a legitimate chance in your mind?
Well, I don't know. He's not going to get out of there because they can, you know, you can franchise the player. You're not going to do it a third year, but you can do it 2 years. Then you create all kind of bad blood. And they've paid him a lot of money. They re-signed his receivers that he wanted to re-sign. And they make a lot of mistakes based on money. They could have signed Trey Hendrickson 3 years ago to an extension in which he would still be playing. The Bengals have always been the cheapest organization with the smallest scouting staff, smallest coaching staff. Now, they improved when Katie Blackburn, her dad is Mike Brown, started taking a bigger role and they started paying more money. But they're still not in that upper echelon, and it's maddening for their fans to know that every year. But they have been now to three Super Bowls, and that's, I'll tell you what, that's three more than my team, the Texans, have been to.
And two more than the Titans. So, I mean, it certainly means something. What I was going to ask, too, earlier, and I forgot, was going back to the Seahawks, that they put it on the market right after they won the Super Bowl. How much did those Super Bowl wins add to the value of a franchise?
Now, that's hard to say. I think that once it came out that Paul Allen's will said that his sister had to sell both franchises, including the Trailblazers and the buildings, and give all the money away, that, you know, teams started letting NFL teams, you know, billionaires started letting the NFL know we're interested in that team. You know, a bunch of them were interested in Washington. A bunch of them were interested in Denver. And there were two. And we don't know every single thing that goes on behind the scenes there. But I just don't think so. People like that, are they interested in winning? They've won in every business they've done, or they wouldn't be multiple billionaires. But, yeah, I'm sure this new family wants to win. But mainly they want to make money because that's what they're great at.
Well, adding to that, John, let's say the Titans, like we were kind of talking about in our hypothetical, in a perfect world, they go to the Super Bowl in Nashville. Would that increase the value of them trying to sell that team being a Super Bowl in their city that they won?
Well, they're not going to be trying to sell it, so it's a moot point. But I don't think winning a Super Bowl has anything to do with the price tag of a franchise because it can change so quickly. It's not like the Seahawks are in position to win two or three in a row. The only team that can do that was New England because they had the greatest player in NFL history, which has been proved, and Tom Brady. And I don't think we'll ever see a team dominate again. I'll be shocked if Seattle wins another Super Bowl. It's amazing to me when you're a multi-billionaire, and I remember you can buy a team when you're a multi-millionaire, then 100 millionaires. Now if you're 100 millionaires, don't even apply. Millionaires, multi-millionaires, don't waste their time. You got to be multi-billionaires. And those people operate in a different stratosphere than the rest of us, the things they do to make their money, and then they get it. And what else can, let's see, what else can we do? What else can we achieve? Oh, I need this ego massage. Let me apply for an NFL franchise. And the price of doing business is still going to continue to climb. I remember when the Texans got the expansion team in 02 and Bob McNair was having to pay $800 million for his stadium and his franchise. Everybody thought he was nuts.
Well, it worked out for him. That's for sure. John, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much as always.
John McClain joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock down there in Houston. We'll react to some of that. And then I also just saw something come across the Twitter wire that I wanted to discuss real quick. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe with Connor Newt and Brandon Bigsby and me, Chase McCabe, 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.